You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final half hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app, now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The O-Dog's out of here. He's teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Leafs-Bruins right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drop at 7. And then, of course, you've got Raptors-Magic tonight as well. Game 5 down at Scotiabank. You can watch that game on TSN. The Blue Jays are down at the Dome taking on Kevin Pillar and the Giants. There's a lot going on.
There is.
In Toronto tonight. These are the dates that you circle, that you hope for. And let's be honest, the Leafs are going to make or break the mood in the city.
Yeah.
Even if the Raptors were to lose tonight, they're still up 3-2, feeling good going back to Orlando.
They're in a good position regardless.
Right. Blue Jays aren't playing for anything. It's, you know, mid-April. It's an interleague game. It doesn't matter that much. Yes, Kevin Pillar's back and all that. And like we said earlier, if Vladdy was debuting tonight,
lots of buzz.
Yeah. It'd be a totally different atmosphere down there at the Dome. But really, this city is either going to be partying or they're going to be miserable based on what happens in Boston tonight.
Agreed.
And Joe Bowen will have the call on TSN 1050 with our buddy Jimmy Ralph. And Bonesy's coming up here in a moment from Boston. And he's been calling games for a long time. He's called a lot of game sevens.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the last 15 years, but that said, last year in Boston, in 2013 in Boston.
Well, he's involved in the atmosphere of these buildings, and that's, you know, you can tell by his call on air, he wears the emotion.
Well, he was there in 93 at Joe Louis Arena.
Yeah.
And I think that is what Maple Leaf fans are hoping for tonight. Don't replicate what happened in 2018. Replicate what happened in 1993. And here is the voice of the Maple Leafs. You'll be able to hear him with the call tonight right here on TSN Radio as we head down to Boston now and catch up with Joe Bowen. Bonesy, do you feel nostalgic? Does it feel more like 93 or 2013 or 2018 for you?
It feels like 2019. It's new. It's right. Different. It's a new group. It's a group that has experienced the bitter taste of it a year ago. And I think to a man have sat in that room and said, don't want to have that happen again. And get an opportunity here to slay the dragon in its own lair and see if they can't move on. So a game seven, I don't know if you can ever get a real good feeling. I suppose if you come back from 3-0 and you force game seven, you've got all that momentum riding. But there's really been no big momentum charges in this series. It's gone back and forth and back and forth. And so now here this team arrives at the Toronto Dominion Garden, having won twice in this building already, hoping to do it for a third time.
Bones, you're around the crew. Did you get a sense of any nerves or a calmness over this group? Take us around the team and just see, is the anxiety level high, or are they quite poised for a young core?
You know, Noodles, I think it was more workmanlike. I don't think anybody thought this was going to be a short series. They knew that Boston had home ice advantage, thought that maybe they had wrestled it away, ended up giving it back, and now you're in a game seven. And I think as disappointing as it was a year ago, it could be a real motivating factor and a key part of their makeup going forward in this game and knowing what to expect. So I thought that it was very workmanlike. Everyone was all excited about it and ready to go to work.
Well, there's been a lot made of the idea that the Maple Leafs are going to have to win for a third time in that building. And I've been kind of talking about this the past couple of days. I didn't believe it had happened often throughout NHL history. That said, someone sent me a text in the previous hour that Washington did it to Columbus last year and to Tampa last year.
Yep.
And St. Louis just did it to Winnipeg a week ago.
Yep.
So it's not unprecedented. It has happened, and the Leafs have been better on the road, quite frankly.
And I'm not sure whether you played in any of the old rinks, that home ice was a big advantage because the dimension of the arena was different in a lot of locations.
Yep.
And that made it, the Chicago Stadium was home ice advantage. The old Boston Garden was home ice advantage. Buffalo Memorial Odd was home ice advantage because the rinks were different.
Yep.
It's a noise factor. And if you can make it white noise and just feed off the energy that's there and not have that affect you, I think that it becomes really just another building to play in.
I played in all of those buildings, and the one thing you can do to silence them is score first or have a great start and get the crowd against you. That happens sometimes. The crowd is so amped up, and they want to see something positive, and if it's not going early on, they get antsy, and they get loud, and they get,
negative. They'll turn on their own
team. Turn, exactly. So I think that's the best way to take the crowd out of it is to have success early on and continue to push. But, yeah, those buildings, they had an aura around them, the Spectrum in Philadelphia.
Yep,
you go right down the line. Like, they were scary and intimidating to go into. These multiplexes were, multifaceted. They're all cookie cutter. They look the same. They feel the same. So the one thing I have noticed, and we haven't even talked about, is the ice conditions. Both teams have kind of...
The Bruins have complained
more. The Bruins especially have complained about their own rink.
Exactly.
Yes, for sure. Now, this is the 173rd Game 7 in the history of the National Hockey League. If you score the first goal of the game 128 times previously, that team's gone on to win. That's almost 75%. So I think your point is well made, Noodles. If you get the opening goal and you can build on that, then you're in a great position. But having said that, the Leafs scored the first goal of the game the other night, and the Boston Bruins promptly came back and scored the next three. So you've got to be able to protect the lead, play with the lead. But getting the lead, I think, most teams and most players and most coaches will say, it's a lot more fun and it's a lot easier playing with the lead than trying to catch the game.
With Joe Bone, who's going to have the call tonight right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7, Leafs Bruins game 7. I mentioned 93, and Nikolai Borshevsky was a good player, and he was playing with Gilmore for the majority of the year. But I wouldn't say he was a superstar. And back then, Bonesy, I mean, you called both of them. Borshevsky scores in overtime in game 7 in Detroit, and then two nights later, Gilmore scores at home in second overtime against St. Louis. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? You could have a superstar that scores tonight. You could have a guy further down the lineup. Where's your focus at in terms of the players that you're really pinpointing tonight?
Well, Andreas Janssen played in a game 7 last year and won the Calder Cup and the most valuable player and scored 2 goals in it.
Right.
And there's a guy that probably is going to embrace the opportunity. And right now, the hottest player the Leafs have going has been Austin Matthews. And, this is it could be a career-defining moment if he has the big game. But then you look back to what happened last July and the signing of John Tavares and Johnny Toronto coming home. And why he wanted to come home was for just this moment, this kind of game, this kind of pressure, this kind of attention. So I'm looking for him to have a breakout night here. He's only scored once, and that was when no one was playing goal. So I think that we're going to see a big effort from John Tavares. And I wouldn't be surprised we see him utilized a little more by the coach, maybe even in penalty-killing situations, because they're getting massacred in the faceoff dot while they're a man short.
Well, that's been such a big topic of discussion, is that penalty kill. I mean, they're shooting at like 54%, which simply cannot continue, but you've got one crack at it tonight. You've got to go out there and lay it on the line. And I know Mike Babcock's been spending the past 48 hours convincing people that he's just going to continue to coach the way he's always coached, and he's going to try to ask his players to do simply what he's been asking them to do through 82 regular season games and 6 playoff games. But do you think the book could get thrown out at any point during this game tonight?
It's game 7.
Right.
I don't know if there is a book. You have to win this game. And if somebody's going real good, well, he's going to get out on the ice a lot more. And when you're losing or winning 29% of the faceoffs in the defensive zone penalty killing, something has to change there. I mean, just a faceoff win and an icing and get off is 20 seconds off the clock. So I think that is a key part of it. But who knows? Maybe they won't have to kill a penalty.
Right.
Then who cares, right? And it's funny that the least penalized team over the course of the regular season is playing against the 30th most penalized team, who average 10 minutes a game, who are now just averaging 5 minutes of penalties and are the least penalized team in the playoffs. So they've turned almost turned a different coat of colors here in the second half or in the playoffs. And I'm talking about the Bruins. So it'll be interesting to see how it's officiated tonight. Wes McCauley and Kelly Sutherland are in charge of the game, and game sevens and officiating, a lot of times things get let go because of the enormity of the game and how that is perceived. Does it help the Bruins, or will it help the Leafs to stay out of the penalty box? It'll be an interesting situation.
Yeah, that's an element we haven't brought up a lot today, where, you know, the role of officiating. And Noodles, you started today with some sort of anxiety that there's going to be a...
Bones, I'm just a little bit concerned. We see trends every playoff. You know, puck over glass, which is, you know, it's a black and white. It's a black and white.
Don't you just love that rule?
It is. It's a black and white rule, though. But, you know, offsides and the challenging. And now this year it seems to be goaltender interference. And I just want a game seven to not be decided. I want the players to decide it. And good hockey. I don't want it to be a subjective call and where we're not sure. You're sitting there the other night. Brian, you've been against this whole time.
I hate review, period, across the board.
And he's been consistent. I've wavered.
I let Ralphie look at the monitor and discuss it, and I just sit tight-lipped because I've given up. I really have. Every time I think it's one way, it goes the other, and I just say to myself, I don't know what it is anymore, so why would I speculate? Let them just tell us, and then let's play on.
Yeah.
What's this I'm hearing about Westwood 1 playing a hero role tonight?
Come on!
What's going on
down
there?
We're bumped down into the corner of the rink. The game's a rumor from over here. It's going to be here they come, there they go, for crying out loud.
Well,
what's that all about?
It's a game set. Treat it like a game seven, Bonesy.
We will.
We'll have fun. Say hi to Ralphie for us and enjoy it tonight.
Hi, Ralphie. He says hi back.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Bonesy.
See you guys.
Here's Joe Bowen. Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph tonight. Game 7, puck drop at 7 right here on TSN 1050. Yeah, all the big boys are in attendance tonight. It's going to be NBC. It's going to be Westwood 1.
It's everyone.
Everybody.
All hands on deck. This is must-watch hockey. So,
and you got two of them. You got two game 7s tonight.
The other one, I know from this market, there's not as much excitement about it, which is fair. But I'm hoping it's good hockey.
I think that Vegas San Jose series has probably been the most vitriolic. There's been a lot of animosity. There's been hatred. There's been fights. There's been suspensions.
Chirping.
There's been coaches calling each other clowns.
Yeah,
I think the Washington Carolina series has had some heat.
Well, it's
as
had
well.
Some ugliness with the Sveshnikov and then the Oshie
Fogle
injury
on Oshie
both coaches. Just protecting their players and coming out afterwards and saying that's the most egregious thing I've seen. And then Brendan Moore defending his player. It's kind of flown under the radar because whether we like it or not, Carolina doesn't have as much sex appeal than the other markets. But, you know, the jerk store or whatever they're calling themselves, they're going to game seven. So, you know, I always call game seven a coin flip because you could get a great performance from a goaltender. You can get an unsuspecting hero. I keep thinking, on both sides. If you're looking at Boston, does Sean Corelli have a night? If you're looking at the Leafs, does Connor Brown have a night? Is it Patrick Marleau? Is it Willie Nylander? Guys that haven't had great playoffs or great seasons. It's usually somebody unsuspecting on Boston, Chris Wagner, just the hardworking, gritty types.
Someone is going to have the puck on their stick tonight. There will be a breakaway or a wide open in the slot type of moment.
Right.
For a guy not named Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak. Someone is going to have an opportunity, whether
Agreed.
It's Trevor Moore, Sean Corrali, like you said.
Yeah.
It's going to happen tonight. And that happens in every single game. It's just highlighted so much more in a game seven.
But think about it. Stefan Matteau scores from the corner for the Rangers. And, it's guys like that. Messier comes out and says, hey, I'm guaranteeing a game seven. But it's not, Messier gets a hat trick. But it's Stefan Matteau. It's names that you remember
Yeah.
for... a game seven scenario.
Absolutely. There's been so many different heroes.
You mentioned it. Borshevsky.
Borshevsky was a guy he had a good year, you know, he
nice
got
career,
to play with Gilmore and all that, but he wasn't a guy that Detroit wasn't saying, hey, circle 16, that's the guy we really gotta worry about.
Right.
And it was Bob Rouse that took the shot that he directed in.
Right.
Rouse to Borshevsky for an OT winner in game seven.
I saw.
Like, how does that make any sense? And then, like I said, I'm pretty sure it was game one, two nights later at the Gardens. Dougie Gilmore with the wraparound on Cujo in double overtime. You expect that out of Gilmore.
Right.
But Rouse to Borshevsky, I mean, that's the equivalent of that Zaitsev to Janssen tonight.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is.
To
Hyman or
to
something.
Hyman. Yeah, exactly. You know?
Zaitsev to Hyman, tip in for an OT winner. And that's the thing that has been brought up a lot recently, and we haven't necessarily mentioned it much on our show, but these two teams have played 14 playoff games in the last 2 years, and they haven't gone to overtime.
You just jinxed it.
I hear you, but it's kind of shocking that it's been this close of a two-year span, where meanwhile, 3 years ago against Washington, I think there were four games that went to overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, right. that's the way it goes. Everything changes, and every game is totally different. Every series is totally different.
Right.
But it's a bit surprising.
Would it surprise you that if tonight went to overtime?
No.
No. I think it's been that close, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was game seven overtime, and then you choose your hero. I don't know if that'll happen.
Well, what about the goaltenders tonight? What do you think is running through their minds, Anderson and Rask?
You got to get that first touch, the first save, get yourself into the game. My biggest worry, I think game four, both of them weren't at their best. I think both of them have been pretty rock solid throughout the playoffs. Is there a stinker on the horizon? I don't know. I mean, you mentioned this, and I actually wholeheartedly agree. Game seven was kind of like game seven last year was like game four this year, where they both weren't very good. It's just that
a lot of goals, a couple of weak ones.
A couple, you know, stinkers here or there, and it just ends up that the Bruins won that one. I don't know. I mean, I can't get a feel. I know that Frederik Andersen looks at the top of his game. I thought he was fantastic last
week. I think he's been great. Yeah, I really do.
And Tuukka,
but he's got to close. You know, this is where one game can completely change the whole narrative and all of the talking points. If Freddie Andersen doesn't perform tonight, no one's going to remember how well he played in game one or game three or game five. No one's going to remember that.
You know what? We were in Boston. Were we not in 2013? Were we down there?
Yeah, we were there for game one. We were down there. And you went back, I think, for game five or something.
And Reimer was lights out.
Yep.
I think he made like 45 saves, 48, something like that. I believe games five and six, Reimer was
unbelievable.
Fantastic
unbelievable.
To keep them alive.
No one remembers that.
Nobody remembers it. It's crazy, and that's how legacies are built, and fairly or unfairly.
Well, and that's the truth on the other side of it. Guys that maybe have left you wanting more. William Nylander has been a topic of discussion really all year, throughout his career for that matter, but leading into the playoffs, what the expectations were, what he's capable of bringing. If he scores two tonight and is dominant, no one's going to care what happened the first six games. No one's going to go back and say, hey, do you see that where he floated through the neutral zone? Nobody cares.
Yeah. Well, people
will burn all the other tapes.
But this is what we've expected.
This is why he deserved that money.
Exactly. Like, you know, the narrative can be really shrunk and in a positive way or a negative way. That's
absolutely
the concerning part.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be heated either way. We were joking about it earlier. Social media is going to be a cesspool tonight.
Yeah.
Because if the Leafs
win,
Leaf fans are going to be going crazy, and the rest of the country and hockey fans are going to be like, are going to start attacking them, and you can already see where this is going.
Yeah.
Because if the Leafs win tonight, it's their biggest playoff win, I think, since 2002. Even in 2004 when they won a playoff round and they got into the second round.
Kind of expected it.
You expected it. I believe it was another Battle of Ontario, and you kind of saw. And they had become so used to doing it. In 2002, they won in the second round. They got to a conference final.
Yeah,
but they haven't won anything in 15 years. And if they win tonight, Leaf fans are going to be treating this as if it was, you know, a borderline Stanley Cup victory. As crazy as it sounds, and I know people are going to mock that, and I think it's in large part because of who it's going to be against.
Right.
If this was against
Carolina,
Columbus, even Tampa, There's not a lot of history between Tampa and Toronto. No. Because it's against Boston, because it's in their building, it's deja vu. This is the third time we've been here in 6 years.
Yeah.
Third time, Game 7 in Boston.
All you know. So
all you know if you're a Leaf fan.
Well, it should be exciting.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a great game either way. I guess what's been determined throughout these playoffs is anyone that claims they know what the hell's going to happen is lying to you.
I can't tell you. I'd tell you what I'd like to see as far as players play well and the refs keep things in line but aren't a factor in a negative way.
Yep.
I just would like to see ferocious hockey. Like
yeah. Let the players determine it.
Exactly. And
no scapegoats.
Yeah.
You know.
I just don't want to come in here tomorrow and there's a, you know, for lack of a Carey Fraser moment or something where you're just like, man, like that, you know, that's the storyline instead of this and this.
Well, and that goes both ways.
Both ways.
Leaf fans, they won't care if it breaks their way. They'll claim it's 26 years in the making Carey Fraser. But don't cheapen a victory.
Right.
Don't allow either team or either fan base or either media to be able to walk away and say, yeah, but.
Right.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it didn't play out fairly because this happened because there was a goalie interference review or,
right.
You know, offside that looked offside, but they didn't call it or whatever it is.
Delayed reaction and all of that.
Let the players determine it. That's what we're waiting for. We've been, you know, in Toronto and in Boston for that matter. The Bruins and Boston, they're not a regular season town. They don't care about what the Patriots do in the regular season.
Right.
What the Red Sox do, what the Celtics do, or the Bruins. What can you bring in the playoffs? And Leaf fans have been fortunate enough because of how good this team has become in short order. The regular season has lost a lot of its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
This is what people have been waiting for. Same thing with the Raptors tonight.
Yeah.
Waiting for you to get rid of this team so you can move on to the real stuff against Philly over the weekend.
Well, we'll see what the Raps bring, the Leafs bring, and it should make for great theater.
I hope so. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I think the Raptors win big. They are massive favorites, but I think they win big tonight. I think Philly wins big as well. This is just about getting Orlando and Brooklyn out of the way. The Celtics and the Bucks are already through.
Yeah.
Final four in the East. Everyone knew it was coming. Let's get to it. And I think San Antonio can cover the number in Denver tonight. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So you got Game 5, Raptors Magic tonight on TSN. And Game 7, Maple Leafs Bruins on TSN 1050. The pregame with Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert coming up in just a moment. And puck drop with Joe Bowen and Jimmy Ralph at 7 p.m.
You didn't tell me what time Yes Guy, No Guy is going to fire up, you think?
It's a Game 7. They're going to treat it like a Game 7. They're going to treat Yes Guy, No Guy like a Game 7. So I'm going to bump it up a little bit earlier than usual. 6:37 p.m. Eastern Time. Yes Guy, No Guy. And they will be coming out flying and feeling it.
Guns blazing.
Guns blazing.
The Tatman's wearing a suit.
He's ready to go, man. Yeah, he's treating tonight like a Game 7. So enjoy it. If you're a Leaf fan, if you're a Raptor fan, if you're a Blue Jay fan, if you're a
hockey fan,
basketball fan, whatever it is, this is the night you've had circled and you've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
So enjoy the evening. Enjoy the games. Don't forget, Leafs Bruins coming up right now on TSN 1050. We are out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Join us.